11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goals. Scoring the goals and goals.
Hello and welcome along to the League Podcast. We're going to look ahead to this weekend's Football League games. And with no Lee Phelps around in the country at the moment, you're stuck with me as the presenter. But we do have the stalwart of the podcast on the line, Mr. Pete Farries. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Mark. Or good afternoon, Mark. Good morning, Mark. Well, I don't know where we are. If the person's listening to it, then good whatever part of the day you're currently listening to this in.
Yes, we could just go with good day. And go back to the 1920s.
Oh, yeah, I do things. Appreciate some respect.
Fair enough. Yeah, you are the main player in this, of course. I must know my role. I'm also very excited to be on the League Podcast because Leeds United, my team, are in the Football League, so I'll be keen to hear your thoughts on them this afternoon. But also because I get to follow that jingle. That is the best jingle we have in the whole catalogue of jingles. It's fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's it really is the best part of this podcast. Considering it's finished now, I mean, it's probably a bit damning indictment on the season so far.
Yeah, turn off now then, is the idea. Obviously now, Pete, we're getting down to the business end of the Football League. Repercussions at the top and the bottom of the table in all three divisions, and a really exciting time of year, I suppose, provided you're not in the relegation zone.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at sort of the relegation sort of places in this league, anyone up to 17th for me can still go down. Huddersfield, you know, in a bad run of form. Birmingham got a couple of important wins of late, but still not 100% there. Donny, it looked like their home form would drag them through. They even got an away win, of course, at Leeds, a rare away win, didn't they? But then they can't quite get going. Blackpool are dropping like a stone, 4 losses from 5, and that goes to add on top of course, a nasty run of form of quite some time. Barry Ferguson's, of course, in charge, but also not fully fit, and he's trying to get himself fit, trying to play through the pain barrier for them. Charlton had a really good run, but got done by a really unlucky goal against Barnsley, who themselves are charging forward. It's a hell of a league.
It is. It's an old cliche with the Championship, isn't it, that any team can beat any other team in the Championship, but it works out year in, year out, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I'm so terrible at picking who's going to win, because it really is a case of often logic not really lying in line with what the result then tends to be. But it doesn't matter. It's really enjoyable. It's an honour to be able to do this, and hopefully just people enjoy the picks. But for me, there are some really good ones this week.
Okay, let's get stuck into Pete's bets in the Championship this week. Then we'll also hear his best bets from League 1 and 2. We'll get the naps. I've got Lee Phelps' nap written in front of me as well, so we'll get those out at the end. But starting with Charlton against Bolton. Charlton 17-10, the draw 21-10, and Bolton are 17-10. Charlton just one place above the relegation zone, obviously sacked the manager not too long ago, and have won 2 of their last 5 games, but they face a Bolton team who seem to have very much turned the corner of late. They're unbeaten in the last 6 games, and is it a good time to side with Bolton now?
I don't think it is, no. I said a couple of weeks ago, and I turned out to be wrong in that game, but I'm still very confident that Bolton will in fact really begin to experiment more and more with the side. You know, Dougie Friedman had a horrible start to the year. The club had a horrible start to the year. But from there on, they've kicked on. There's been some, of course, big changes in terms of personnel, loans in and out. Big players like Chris Eagles, who aren't quite as important now to the side as they used to be. And to be fair, you know, the game against Barnsley should really have been a draw. Beckford's winner, of course, just before half-time is what killed it. But, you know, Danny Wilson was frustrated in that game about, you know, feeling that they should have had more from that. But Charlton are a really interesting side, obviously. Got a late goal against Barnsley, but they were 2-0 down by that point. And that cross from Tom Kennedy that went to the back of the net for Barnsley as well. That was, I think, a moment that maybe summed Charlton up a little bit, because they have been at times a very decent side, a very solid outfit, a side who certainly at home have been able to grind things out. Now, the pitch, which we've spoken about in depth many times, has helped that. But at the same time, I mean, if you look at the teams who've beaten Charlton recently, Burnley and Reading, there's no great shame in losing to those at home. They beat Yeovil, but then Barnsley, this sort of freak result, not freak result against Barnsley, that's not fair, but in a difficult relegation battle, they lost out. I looked at the price here on Bolton and felt at 17-10, I appreciate Charlton are also 17-10 in this market, But despite my feeling that Bolton are a side who are going to experiment and keep experimenting, because Dougie Freeman's got nothing really massively to lose now between now and the end of the season, 17-10 was too big for them. And, you know, it'll be sad if Charlton go, and I'm not saying they do go, I'm just talking about this one game. But I just wonder if there's going to be a bit of a hangover from that result that they had against Barnsley. You know, they didn't play too badly in that game against Barnsley from reports that I've read. But at the same time, it just doesn't quite seem to be there for Charlton at the moment at home, despite that win over Yeovil. So I'm going to have to go with a 17-10 for a Bolton side who, while I do, like I said, and I've said four or five times already, think we'll keep experimenting. Four wins from five is a pretty damning stat when you're looking at a 17-10.
So Bolton the pick then. Moving on to the second game then, this is Blackpool against Burnley. Blackpool 3-1, the draw 21-10, Burnley 21-20. Blackpool badly out of form coming into this. They've lost four of their last five games, whereas Burnley, they're sitting there second in that second automatic promotion spot, but just had a little bit of a wobble against Middlesbrough last weekend. But Middlesbrough are in fine form at the moment. So how do you weigh this one up? Is it a case of Burnley will get back on track with their promotion push, or are Blackpool going to stay a late claim to turn things around and avoid relegation, because they're in trouble at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, the fact of the matter is that, like you say, Borough are playing very well at the moment, and Burnley really had their chances in that match as well. I think that's the other important thing to say. If you look at this from what will be a punter's point of view, with Blackpool in the form they're in, and with Burnley, you know, Danny Ings came back the other day, but well, maybe he's got his eye back in after his injury a bit more now. When you look at Blackpool, you know, that one win over Huddersfield and then a couple of games before that, that one win over Millwall, are there only two wins in the league since November. So if you're giving me a team who've won twice since November and those teams they beat were Huddersfield and Millwall, neither of which are as good as Burnley, and you give me a Burnley side who the last time they lost away from home was actually against Middlesbrough at the Riverside on Boxing Day. Despite Burnley's little stutter, and it is a stutter at the moment, you know, they lost to Leicester, but that's kind of fair enough. Drew at Watford, bit of a stumble, beat Barnsley, fair enough, and now they lost to a very informed side. When you look at the teams who've beaten Burnley, Leicester and Borough, in good form, and well, one's in good form and one's, you know, Leicester, who are also in very good form and are promoted, there's only one stumble in there for me, which is the draw against Watford. And when you break it down and you look at Blackpool at home, you know, Yeovil have been there recently and won Birmingham, Bournemouth, Derby. Any punter looking at that 21-20 odds against, surely their jaw's got to hit the floor, hasn't it? It's got to. I mean, 21-20 is massive for me in that one. And yes, you've got a bit of locality between the two sides, but I can't see how Blackpool win that game. Now, sometimes in the Championship, that's a sign that they destroy their opponents, but I can't see it. And 21-20 for me as a punt is actually pretty unarguable. Like I said, I know there's no Sam Vokes. Danny Ings is back in the side now, and that's going to be a big boost for Burnley. But, I mean, Blackpool lost to Leeds, who, you know, have been in woeful form of late. I mean, it all adds together, and Blackpool are in real relegation danger at the moment. Ultimately speaking, though, for me as a punter, for any of the punters listening, 21-20 is unbelievable for Burnley. It really is as pure and as simple as that.
Yeah, it looks great value, because Blackpool are probably the out of form side in the Championship. They haven't been playing well at all. They haven't even come close to playing well. Whereas Burnley just need a few more wins, don't they, to secure that promotion spot. And that brings us nicely on to the next game, because the team chasing them in third place is Derby County, and they're away at Doncaster this week. Doncaster 16-5, the draw 5-2, Derby 17-20. Doncaster have lost four of the last five games. Their only win in there was against Leeds, but everybody was beating Leeds at that point. And Derby, they're pretty good at the moment. They were impressive against Huddersfield last week, and their first goal was brilliant. That first goal just showed what kind of quality Derby can play. And if they want to keep up the pressure on Burnley, of course they'll know the result of the Burnley game as well, which could have an influence on this. Do you see Derby winning this, Pete?
I looked at this one. This is one of the intriguing ones I felt this weekend, because every part of you should say that Derby will win this. I mean, you know, they've won, what, four of the last six games they've played in Derby. They've, despite the loss against Middlesbrough and Ipswich, been very, very good. But away from home, they ain't been massively convincing of late. I mean, it's only two away wins for Derby since the end of December. It's not particularly brilliant. Until you look at it in more detail, teams who beat them, Leicester, Burnley, and Ipswich side who are very good at home, and Middlesbrough who are in great form. Again, no shame in that. With Donny, it's hard, isn't it? With Donny, it is hard, because They lose at home against Birmingham City. They lose at home against Bolton. Doncaster then go to Ipswich and lose 2-1 there. And then you start to panic. You look at the home form. I mean, and up until that loss against Birmingham, it was great, wasn't it? It was 4 wins from 6. They were ticking over nicely. They were beating some of the teams around them in the relegation battle, like Charlton, drawing with other teams in the relegation battle with them, like Barnsley, and ticking over very nicely. But it's very, very hard. It is very hard to want to, in any way, shape or form, get involved in Doncaster Rovers here, when you're looking at it outside logically. But I still wasn't, for some reason, whether it's a gut instinct, whether it's just me being a big coward, which is probably more likely, I was still massively convinced on jumping onto Derby County. So what instead I've gone for here is over 2.5 match goals at 4-5 mark. If you look, for example, at Doncaster Rovers' most recent matches, it's landed in 4 of the last 5. The last 4 of, in a row, by the way. 2-1 against Leeds, 3-1 against Birmingham, 2-1 against Bolton, 2-1 against Ipswich. So it's landed all over there, hasn't it? You look at Derby, go through the last 6 if you want. 5-0, 2-1, 3-0, 1-0, didn't land there, but then overs don't really land in Borough games at the moment. 4 goals in the Blackpool game, 4 goals in the Huddersfield game. 4-5, the price on over 2.5 goals here, is, for me, massive. I think it's a huge bet. When you consider the form I've just given you in terms of goals for these two sides, over 2.5 match goals, 4-5, that for me should be a heck of a lot shorter. And I think it's a great way in for anyone's over 2.5 goal hackers this weekend, for anyone's single hackers this weekend, your single bets this weekend. I think that's an unbelievable way in. When you consider the stats I've just given you, over 2.5 match goals is 4-5. And if you are going to play Derby, then I think Derby and both teams to score is also a way in at 11-4. Because if you look at Derby's wins of late against Huddersfield, both teams to score and a win landed. Against Blackpool, it landed. Didn't land against Charlton, didn't land against Forest. But I think that's a very good way in when you consider on the other side of it, both teams to score and their opponents win against Doncaster has landed in their last 3 games as well. So I think that 11-4 is probably a very, very good way in too. And also the headline offer, Bamford and Derby. Why again would you look at any point away from Patrick Bamford, who's been absolutely unbelievable? Didn't score, of course, in that game against Huddersfield. Was, of course, on the score sheet before that, though, in the game against Blackpool. And he's a man who's incredible talent. I mean, he scored against Charlton, didn't he? And he's a talent. And with Chelsea missing strikers, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future.
Yeah, okay, interesting stuff. Just to add another price in there as well, match times goals, Derby to win in over 2.5 goals is 8-5. Doncaster to win over 2.5 goals on the flip side of that is 11-2. So if you do have a strong opinion on who will win the game and you want to put Pete's over 2.5 goals in as well, it's a good way to get a little bit of extra value on the prices. The next game is Leicester City against QPR. Leicester 19-20. The draw 23-10 and QPR are 3-1. I suppose a few people would have presumed, looking at the fixture list at the start of the season, that this might have been a title decider or promotion decider. Leicester, however, already sealed their promotion spot. QPR disappointingly tailing away a little bit and in fourth place at the moment, with Leicester's form having a bit of a downturn since they secured promotion. Is QPR a good bet here, or how do you see it, Pete? Because it's a bit of a hard one to get my head around.
Yeah, it's a difficult one in that, I mean, you say that QPR have tailed away somewhat. They did, of course, pick up a vital win against Forest, didn't they? Absolutely battered Forest into the ground in that 5-2 early this year. But away from home, that's been their problem all season. They can't do it. They got past Borough 3-1 sort of mid to late March, and that was 1-1 until the 90th minute when a mistake from the keeper blows it for Middlesbrough. Other than that, that was a game that was heading for a draw. They beat Birmingham, fair enough, 2-0, that Ravel Morrison brace. But away from home, generally speaking, I mean, they're a side who've lost, 6 of the last 8 away from home. And despite Leicester capitulating against Brighton and losing 4-1, again, why on earth would I want to back against them here? 19-20 is a fascinating price because QPR's away form makes them unbackable in this match. But the state of the league then flips you on the other side of that 19-20 and says, well, Leicester are up. They got battered by Brighton. Their form is maybe not quite what they'd like it to be, considering they also drew against Reading. And they've only had 2 wins in 6 themselves, generally speaking. So how on earth do you go about playing this game? And I sat and I thought, the 19-20, I could take that punt. I could get involved. I could do it. But I didn't, Mark. So before you get too carried away, I didn't do that.
Okay. What did you do, Pete?
This is a question.
Yes.
So what I did instead was I've gone on unders on the goals, okay. Which I don't normally play. I'm not a huge unders player. If I think a game's going to be unders, I tend to just leave that part of the market alone. It's 10 to 11 for under 2.5 goals. Now, it was unders when these two met earlier in the season, if you're a head-to-head player. Got to bear that in mind. But for me, Leicester will look to try and just pick them off if they can. QPR, for Harry Redknapp here, he won't be expecting a win, but he will be going for a win because he's got no choice. But again, their away form doesn't fill me with confidence in terms of them scoring loads of goals anyway. I mean, this is a side who away from home since, what, the beginning of February, have scored, what, 6 goals? I just think that Leicester, I'm not sure that Leicester will be solid, but I think that they will certainly approach the game solid. There's no need for them to go flying out of the traps here. They will know that with very few games left, you know, they've got 4 games left this season. There's a 7-point gap between them and Burnley. It's unlikely Burnley win all of their games. One more win for Leicester at some point, and they've still got to go to Huddersfield. They've got Donny last game of the season. They've got Bolton as well, who will have nothing to play for. Nigel Pearson will know that that's not too bad a run-in for them, and a win in this game is absolutely not necessary. I've also seen QPR. I know this hasn't happened in every single time they've played an afternoon kickoff. I want to make that absolutely clear. But I've seen them a couple of times in the flesh in afternoon kickoffs, and they're just not quite. I mean, they've been a narrow side all season, but I just thought that really an afternoon kickoff, they're not usually quite as bombastic as they would tend to be. So I thought that the unders in the end of this, under 2.5 at 10 to 11, was the way to play it. But there's certainly no doubt, as you can tell from me almost rambling a little bit, it's a difficult game to call.
It is a tricky game, and under 2.5 goals and at 10 to 11 is the play in that one. On to the penultimate game we're going to look at. It's Middlesbrough against Millwall. Middlesbrough are even money, the draw 11 to 5, and Millwall are 3 to 1. Middlesbrough are one of the form sides in the Championship at the moment. They've won their last 4 games, won 4 of their last 5 after that draw with Huddersfield Town. But Millwall, who had looked dead and buried a few weeks ago in the relegation zone, they've turned the corner a little bit as well. They've had some decent results in recent weeks. They're unbeaten in their last 4 games. So something has to give here, Pete. Which way will it go?
Middlesbrough's way, I think.
Biased.
I think they're excellent value. Because, first and foremost, we've spoken about their form, of course. 4 wins back-to-back, including beating Burnley and Derby in that period as well. Defensively, they have been magnificent, really, on the whole, under Aitor Karanka. The amount of times they concede is rare indeed. And also, let me take you back to earlier in the season, Mark, if I could, and look at Middlesbrough's 2-0 win away at Millwall just before Christmas. That was the moment that Borough stopped looking like they were going to be relegation candidates, because at the time, it looked like there was a possibility of them getting dragged into it. And they won that game, and that gave I know for a fact that gave all the players, the club, the staff, a huge boost, an absolutely massive boost, and a real leg up. And they finally found themselves, I think, a little bit there, Borough, and they kicked on. The thing I've got in my mind here is that as good as Millwall have been away, and Millwall have been good away from home recently, lost to Blackpool and Leeds, but beat Derby, beat Forest, beat Wigan, and as much as they're absolutely fighting for their lives, there's an outside chance. I mean, Borough are only 6 points off the playoff places here. It's unlikely, it's very unlikely, but they're playing amongst the most informed, best football in this league. If you saw the game against Burnley, it was end-to-end, it was counter-attacking, blistering stuff. And if Millwall, as Ian Holloway, you know, would do naturally anyway, are going to throw people at Middlesbrough, we saw, as with the Burnley goals, of course, Borough can fly right back at you with the pace they've got in that side, with people like Ledesma in there, with Doma in there, the pace they've got in that team. And, you know, often I'm looking at minus ones on this podcast, or I'm looking at the draw no bets, and this week I just felt a lot of the outright value was unbelievable. And Middlesbrough at even money is another part of that. I mean, like I say, they have won only 3 of the last 5 at home. They drew a lot before that, but this is a different-looking Borough side to me. They look confident. They look sharp. You know, Danny Graham is starting to find his feet. He's starting to tick himself over. And, you know, Borough are the third highest form team in the league right now, behind Bournemouth and Bolton. They're playing good stuff. And I think Millwall's style plays into Borough's hands at the weekend. I really do. And Borough will be tight, as they have been under Aitor Karanka, and they will try and smash right back out of Millwall when Millwall commit players to Borough. The other thing to say is that a lot more Borough fans, from the sounds of things, are going to be able to go to the ground this weekend. There's discussions about how best to get more fans into the Riverside, because it's been bare for a long time. They've got a few initiatives this weekend as well. But I struggle to see a situation here in which Borough don't win. I think Borough will go to this game and they will know and they will feel that even though it was a different manager when they beat Millwall last time out, that they kind of have it over Millwall after what happened last time and how well they played against Millwall last time. And of course, if you want to look at a goal scorer, then Emmanuel Ledesma would be the one you look at. Has been very, very dangerous at times this season, but he scored an absolute screamer against Millwall earlier this year. He's 9-4 any time.
Okay, Middlesbrough then to win that one, and Ledesma an anytime scorer on that betting as well. Moving on to the final game, we're going to look at in the Championship, and it's Barnsley against Leeds. It's 6-4 for Barnsley. The draw 11-5. Leeds are 9-5. Barnsley with that vital win in midweek against Charlton to keep them in with a chance of avoiding relegation. Leeds managed to stop the rot, beating Blackpool last weekend 2-0 after several successive defeats. It was five successive defeats on the bounce for Leeds. Obviously all the problems for Leeds seem to be sorting themselves out again, and players looking as if they can concentrate on the job. But Barnsley have a pretty good record against Leeds in recent times. Pete, do you think it's which way do you think it's going to go?
Barnsley's way, Mark, actually, truth be told. I actually really like the look of Barnsley here. You look at Blackpool and how Leeds played Blackpool the other day, and they beat them. They played really well. Luke Murphy, of course, had a good game for Leeds. But the interesting thing there is that Blackpool, for me, are dropping. And I don't necessarily mean relegation, although they're in danger of it. But they are, in terms of form, in terms of confidence, in terms of quality, they are plummeting at the moment. And while Barnsley are in a worse position right now than Blackpool, obviously second bottom, they're not plummeting. They're moving forward, Barnsley. They've only lost, you know, if you look at the games that Barnsley have lost, they've only lost two in the last six. You know, they beat Reading, they beat Yeovil, they beat Charlton. And what is the trend there, Mark? They're all away from home. Yes, they lost to Bolton 1-0, but a game in which they were very unlucky to actually lose that. And I think Leeds took advantage, quite rightly, of Blackpool's result the other day, and it was a good performance, and it was an important, vital win, you could argue, for Brian McDermott as well. It was important to pull the reins, of course, in what was a horrible run of form since that Millwall victory that they'd had, the five games back-to-back losses, not scoring in three of them as well. And I do think, again, I've said this in the past, I do think Brian McDermott is long-term the man to take Leeds forward. Whether Massimo Cellino agrees with me or not, we'll find out, I think, relatively soon. But for me here, Barnsley, despite those wins I mentioned a moment ago, all being away from home, I think they do it here. And they won, of course, at home against Leeds 2-0 last season, didn't they, at Oakwell as well. Now, there'll be people looking at Leeds and thinking after that 2-0 win, the 9-5 is a good way in, draw no better, plus a goal, because Leeds might be able to make it back-to-back. But right now, if you're giving me a side in Barnsley, who at least have got something to go for, have got an aim, a goal, and while Leeds' aim and goal is just to get some good form in, Brian McDermott to get his eye in for next season, I just think Barnsley might outdo them. I do think Barnsley concede, though. And whenever I'm looking at a Leeds goal scorer, looking at the top goal scorer in the league is probably not the most stupid thing to do, particularly, Mark, is it? And of course, that's Ross McCormack. Anytime he's 6-5, McCormack to score any time, but Barnsley to win is just over 2-1. And I really like the look of that. And anytime goal scorer, lose cast, as I call them. McCormack anytime, but Barnsley to win. I just think the momentum is so massively with Barnsley when you look at the shape of the league and the shape of this game today. Well, when we're looking at it today, I suppose, ahead of tomorrow and Saturday's kickoffs. I just want to take that punt. I might be a fool, I might be wrong, but it wouldn't be the first time.
Anybody who looks at head-to-head records will probably be in agreement with you, Pete, because Leeds have only won once in the last nine meetings between these two sides. They just don't like playing against Barnsley. And with Barnsley desperate for wins and Leeds still not really firing on all cylinders, then I can see where you're coming from. I'm obviously disappointed that you've gone that way, Pete. I think less of you as a man.
Well, some of us can put our professionalism ahead of our personal opinions, Mark.
Is that why you tipped Middlesbrough?
What you mean, the team with the highest form in the league? Yeah, that is why I tipped one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, okay. It's all fun and games. So that's
the
pardon?
I hate you.
Don't be like that, Pete. It's okay. Lee will be back next week or week after. That's the Championship then. As usual, Pete, you have a best bet in League One and League Two. So what direction are you going in those two leagues?
Well, first and foremost, MK Dons at 7-5 to beat Port Vale. I appreciate there will be a lot of people always a little bit nervy about backing the MK Dons, and you've got good reason. They have, of course, still got an outside chance of getting that playoff place from Peterborough, but it is an outside chance, isn't it? 9 points away from Peterborough. They'd need a collapse from Peterborough, really, to stand absolutely any chance of getting in there, but they could do it. The reason I've backed the MK Dons here is kind of a non-footballing one. I don't want to comment too strongly on what happened, of course, at Port Vale this week. But you obviously have seen one player relieved of his contract at the club in Dan Jones, and Doug Loft, of course, has released a picture of his face. And obviously, there's been an incident at the training ground, which again I'm not going to comment too strongly on because I don't know the details of it. But that can really upset a backroom staff. That can really upset a club, its fans, and there's of course the counter argument. We could bring everyone together, but when it's your captain, of course, who's an important player for them, Doug Loft as well, who's out, and I think in just what is a very messy group of circumstances, I just think that the price you get in there on MK Dons at 7-5, despite the fact that normally you wouldn't hang your hat on MK Dons if you had a choice, I still think that's a very good way in.
Okay, so that's the best bet in League One then. What about League Two?
It's one bet for me. It was really easy this week, Mark. Really easy. In fact, it was Northampton Town to beat Wycombe Wanderers. Now, yes, Wycombe at Adams Park have made themselves very difficult to beat. They've won 3 of the last 5 there, albeit in between they've lost to Rochdale and Plymouth. But the job that Chris Wilder is doing at Northampton Town now, there's real confidence. They've won back-to-back games. They drew the 2 before that, and they can smell blood. Don't forget, if Northampton Town win this, they go above Wycombe. They get out of the relegation zone. And I think that's a really, really important thing. Wycombe have been struggling. They have been struggling for a while away from home, but at home, while it's been much better and they've barely been losing, I think it comes down to one thing, which is Northampton playing great football, and I think Wycombe are on the verge of possibly being relegated. So Northampton pick up 3 points for me at the weekend. I just felt the 2-1 was far too big. If you want to be a bit more of a nervous Nelly, and there's no reason and there's nothing wrong when it comes to punting with being a nervous Nelly, draw no bet is 11-10. Really good way in.
Okay, good stuff. Right, at this point of the podcast, we move on to the both teams to score double. And Lee has sent me the double via email from his holiday destination. And the first of them is Barnsley against Leeds. The Tykes haven't scored at Oakwell for over 360 minutes of football, and Leeds have only got 3 in their last 7 away games and haven't scored in any of the last 3 matches. So both teams to score no in that one at 21-20. And Blackpool against Burnley. Promotion favourites have scored in 10 straight away games. Blackpool have only failed to hit the net once in their last 7 in front of their home faithful. Both teams to score yes in that game is even money, and the double pays 3.1-1. And then we move on to the naps. We'll start with your nap, Pete. What's your nap selection this week?
Well, there was a couple here. I mean, I was half tempted, which I'm not allowed to do because Lee banned me from doing it, but I was half tempted to put an acca together for this week's nap. Because seriously, because there's so many really good bets, and a treble of Bolton, Burnley and Middlesbrough will return you double digits to 1, 10-1, that treble. And I do love that. So obviously I've got to pick from that treble. I'm not going to take Bolton away at Charlton. And it comes down to Burnley to beat Blackpool or Middlesbrough to beat Millwall. And in the end, I've punted with Middlesbrough to beat Millwall. Bias. No, it's because, like I say, Borough in unbelievable form, third best, of course, in the league at the moment. Their massive, massive win early in the season, I should say, against Millwall. Even though they won a couple of games and went through a nasty period, it sort of shaped a sort of a new Borough and how they were going to approach it. Millwall will throw everything at Borough. They've got no choice now in terms of the relegation battle. They will go at Borough. But Borough's pace on the counter-attack with someone like Emmanuel Adesma, who tortured Millwall at the Den earlier this season, when those guys get going on the counter-attack with the talent they've got going forward and how tight they've been at the back, and they have been, I'm going to use a kid's phrase here, hella tight at the back of late. There is no argument for me that at the end of the day, you're backing Borough at even money.
Okay, Middlesbrough the nap selection for Pete then. I'm instructed to tell you that Pete is minus 95, 31 for the season, and Leeds plus £43 for the season. And Leeds nap is Wolves against Rotherham, over 2.5 goals at 10-11. Both teams well capable of scoring, as we've seen, and I think the Millers will keep pushing Brentford for that automatic spot. Wolves may be a little bit more relaxed with promotion secured, and these two also drew 3-3 in December. So Leeds best bet this week is over 2.5 goals in Wolves against Rotherham at 10-11.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, last season at this stage, I was plus 84. I remember going into the Maybank, the April Bank Holiday, Easter Sunday. I was plus 84 last season. So it just goes to show you how difficult the Championship is at times, doesn't it? It could also say something about me, but I want to ignore that.
Yeah, we won't go into that. We don't want to have to bring out the councillors and all that. Thank you very much anyway, Pete.
Cheers, man.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you and get your best bets for the Football League this weekend. Good luck with us and enjoy the action.
Cheers, Paul.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.